Alan Wright, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of his latest book, The Power to Bless.
Hi, this is John. If you are the phone company, I already sent the money. If you are my parents, please send money. If you are my financial aid institution, you didn't send me enough money. If you are my friends, you owe me money. And if you are a female, don't worry, I have plenty of money.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series, Miracle Man, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I'd like to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here's Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? If there is a drought or famine, you must remember that God can make it rain. And he used Elijah to make it rain through his prayers, and then told us in James 5 that Elijah is just as human as you and I are, and God used him. God can make it rain in the famine. But while the drought continues and the famine is severe, until such time he makes it rain, God will provide for his children. Amen. We're in 1 Kings chapter 17 for a word from the Lord that if you get this down in your spirit, it will change your life. 1 Kings chapter 17, where we are learning about this miracle man, Elijah, and how he points us to the true miracle man, Jesus. And we pick up reading at verse 1 of 1 Kings 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Ahab, we're told in the scripture, was more wicked than all the kings of Israel that had preceded him. And Elijah knew the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy that had said, "If my people disobey me, then I'll shut up the heavens and there'll be no rain." So in an idolatrous land where there began to be worship of Baal, Elijah had prayed, James says, fervently that it wouldn't rain so that God's word would be fulfilled, and that through the fulfillment of God's word of judgment against idolatry, that the people would turn to God. And so that's what's happening. At verse 2, "And the word of the Lord came to him, 'Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him, 'Arrive, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to bring it, he said to her, 'And bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die.' And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go and do as you've said. First, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Sometimes people are a little bit confused about provision. I chuckle to the story of a young man who wanted to ask a woman's father for the young lady's hand in marriage. And so it was that this fine young Christian man met with the father, and the father said, "Well, tell me your plans." He said, "Well, I'd like to marry your daughter. I love her very much." And he says, "Well," he said, "tell me what kind of work do you do?" And the young man said, "Well, I don't actually have a job, but I study the Bible, and I'm a very student of the Bible." And the father said, "Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad for your studies, but how will you afford to get her a nice engagement ring?" And the boy said, "Well, I'll be committed to my studies, and the Lord will provide." The father said, "Okay, well, how are you going to provide a home for her and food for the table?" He said, I will be committed to my studies, and the Lord will provide." And he said, "What about when you have children? How will you be able to provide for them and raise them and educate them?" And again, he said, I will trust the Lord. I will be committed to my studies, and the Lord will provide." Well, later on, the father was talking to his wife, and the mother said to him, "So, well, how did the conversation go?" He said, "Not very good." He said, "Not only does the young man not have a job or any prospects, but evidently he thinks I'm God." Just one more. This is a guy's outgoing message on his voicemail. "Hi, this is John. If you are the phone company, I already sent the money. If you are my parents, please send money. If you are my financial aid institution, you didn't send me enough money. If you are my friends, you owe me money. And if you are a female, don't worry, I have plenty of money." I want to talk to you about miraculous provision from the Lord. And we're going to see in Elijah's life some principles of the gospel at play that I think will be a profound encouragement to you. But as you think about how it is that the Lord provided for Elijah and how it is he provides for you, I ultimately want to point you to the power and significance of what it means for Jesus to quote Deuteronomy and say, "The man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." It is a deep revelation, it is powerful, and it'll change your life. There's so much rich beauty and principle in this incredible story about Elijah, who prayed for a drought and then experienced the drought and then experienced the day 3.5 years later when the rain came and the famine ended. And the first thing that I want to highlight for you is that here is Elijah who prayed that God would not make it rain, because this is what God had said in Deuteronomy about what happens when people are in idolatry and rebellion, his people. And so he's praying this according to the word of God, and then the Lord worked this miracle through Elijah's prayer, and the people were all suffering from this famine. And what I want to highlight for you is that Elijah, though he was used by God in this miraculous way, and his prayer life was used by God in a miraculous way, that Elijah was not given a free ticket out of the famine. In other words, the drought that he prayed would come to pass upon the land was a drought he himself would experience. He felt the same thirst that others did. He saw the same brooks dry up that others did. He watched the livestock become emaciated, just like others did. He saw the impact and he felt it. And the roof of his mouth grew dry. And he was in need. If God didn't provide, he would not make it. See, God is like this. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean you get a free ticket out of the troubles of the world. It means that God gives you an assurance that he's going to care for you in the middle of every famine. Which to me is of profound reassurance when I read the newspapers in our day and see the drought of morality and the drought of love for God and the drought of truth. And something in the flesh wants to sink. And I remember, God's grace is sufficient.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Ever feel like something's holding you back? As if you lack an important key that could change everything? Is there someone you love who seems stuck? You'd like to help them, but how? What's missing? Blessing. We all need a positive, faith-filled vision spoken over our lives. You can learn how to embrace the biblical practice of blessing through Pastor Alan Wright's new book, The Power to Bless, which quickly became an Amazon number one bestseller after its recent release. Until now, the hardcover book has only been available through retail sales, but this month, Alan Wright Ministries wants to send you the book as our thank you for your donation. When you give this month, you'll not only receive the best-selling book, but you'll also receive a free 5-session video course in which Pastor Alan teaches how to bless and covers content not found in the book. The video course includes a detailed study guide perfect for personal growth or small group discussion. Make your gift today and discover the power to bless. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Paul was once given a battle in the spirit that wouldn't leave him alone. I don't know why there's any real confusion about what the thorn, the so-called thorn in the flesh, it's a symbol, a thorn, and we're told what it is. It's a messenger of Satan. This is what he said in 2 Corinthians 12. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me. It's demonic persecution. That's right. To keep me from becoming conceited. And three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, Paul wanted the thorn removed. He wanted, this is what he's asking the Lord for. Lord, I know everybody's facing spiritual battle, but this is intense. Everywhere I go, I'm facing the same spiritual battle, fighting in the spirit against, could you just lift this so that I could just have a vacation from it? Could I just have a ticket out of the normal stress of having to put the armor of God on every day and stay prayed up and stay full of the Word and live and walk in the Spirit? Could I just take a vacation from that and just be excused from the severity of spiritual battle? And the Lord said, no. Because that very spiritual battle is the thing that is making you hunger and thirst for me. God says, but what I will do is I'm going to give you grace. And aren't you glad? Because everything that Paul learned about grace, he taught it to us. And he wouldn't have known it. This is our God. He's a God who might let Joseph be in prison, but the text says the Lord was with him in prison. This is a God who let there be a famine in the land, and Elijah was in that famine, and the Lord was with Elijah. If he never let you experience weakness, how would you ever know his strength? If you were never hungry, why would you ever draw near with an appetite for his grace? The Lord provides in the midst of the difficulties of life. We experience the same kind of grief that people of this world experience, but the Lord provides in the midst of it. I was thinking for some reason this week of my father's death. And I had, on the morning of that day, I had gone by to see him at the skilled care facility. And I knew his condition had worsened in recent weeks. And I didn't sense there was anything imminent that was about to happen. And I visited him in the morning. And I went about my business that afternoon and had a number of things that were going on. And then that evening, and it was growing dark, and I don't know. Have you ever had a moment like this? I couldn't shake it. I'd already seen him that day, but I just couldn't shake it. And I turned to my wife. I said, I just feel like I need to go back over and see Dad. She said, well, you just saw him. I said, I just feel like I need to go back over. I just go back over. And I went back over, and there he was, seeming about the same as I'd seen him that morning. And I was just standing by his bedside. And my oldest brother David called about something else. He wasn't calling about Dad. Yeah, I know my oldest brother David. He's only a few years older than me, but he was very important in my life because, I was the youngest, and my dad and mom broke up, and Dad wasn't around. And my oldest brother was like a dad to me in a lot of ways. Just a few years older, but he was always there for me. Anyway, he called, and we were just talking about something else. I said, I'm here visiting Dad. And while we were talking on the phone, and we don't talk on the phone that often. And while we were talking, I noticed a change in Dad's breathing. And I interrupted our conversation. I said, David, something's happened with Dad. His breathing's changed. And so David just stayed on the phone, and I held my father's hand. And his breathing became more labored and slower. And I wept, and I had my brother on the phone. And so my father wasn't alone when he died, and I wasn't alone while I held his hand. We grieve. We experience the same famines that the world does. But right smack dab in the middle of it, God does miracles for his children. And he provides. You can count on it. It comes in such unexpected ways. This is the second thing I see here that is so powerful about this story, is that it is like God has almost comically provided for Elijah in a way that if Elijah were to sit down and write down the top 100 ways that he would have imagined that God would provide for him in the middle of the famine, these two ways wouldn't make it. Getting provided for by birds or a poor widow. These are not the things that you would expect. I mean, in the first case, he instructs him to go to this brook. It's one of the last remaining brooks that still has a trickle of water in it. I guess the Lord was just saying, I know of a brook, and it's going to be the last one to run out of water, and you can go drink that water. So he's there, and he can drink the water of the brook, and God arranges and commands, the text says, to send these birds to come and bring them food in the morning and food in the evening. And what's interesting is these aren't just any birds. These are ravens. They are scavengers. They are like crows. And this is an unclean animal to the Hebrew people. You're not supposed to eat them. And the idea is just funny that this bird that the Hebrews can't even eat is the one that's bringing food to this Jewish prophet. I mean, it'd be one thing to say, go to the brook, and I'm going to bring some nice chickens over there for you, you know. But instead, he sends these ugly ravens that Elijah would barely want to touch, much less eat. And every morning and every evening, the birds provide food for him. Birds are a symbol of that which is insignificant, helpless, so much so that Jesus, to make his point, said, consider the sparrows of the air, not one of them falls to the ground without my Father's permission. So that which is weak and unclean brings him food. And then the Lord tells him to go to Zarephath of Sidon. Now, if you were Jewish and you knew your Bible, you were reading this, you would go, what? Because Sidon is the hometown of Jezebel. And Zarephath is just in that region. And so Jezebel, who is the symbol of idolatry and love of worship of Baal, who financed 450 prophets of Baal, is the picture of everything that's gone wrong with the nation because Ahab, the king of Israel, had married this woman, Jezebel. It's like a symbol of everything that's awful. I don't know what you could imagine. Would you say it's like go to Sin City? I'm going to provide for you there. And so he travels to the epicenter of Baal worship, and he is supposed to find this widow. You know that in the ancient Mideastern culture, the widow was considered the most vulnerable of all people. It was an intensely patriarchal society, and a widow had no real way to take care of herself. But this woman had a son that had not yet grown. So she not only had to care for herself, but she had to care for this son. And not only was she a widow in a pagan land, but she was a poor widow.
Alan Wright. I can feel the setup coming, and there's good news on the way, and you can catch the conclusion of this on our next edition in the series Miracle Man, and today's teaching, placing a bookmark here, God's Man for Life. Alan is back in a moment with additional insight on this for our life and a final word today. Stick with us.
Ever feel like something's holding you back? As if you lack an important key that could change everything? Is there someone you love who seems stuck? You'd like to help them, but how? What's missing? Blessing. We all need a positive, faith-filled vision spoken over our lives. You can learn how to embrace the biblical practice of blessing through Pastor Alan Wright's new book, The Power to Bless, which quickly became an Amazon number one bestseller after its recent release. Until now, the hardcover book has only been available through retail sales, but this month, Alan Wright Ministries wants to send you the book as our thank you for your donation. When you give this month, you'll not only receive the best-selling book, but you'll also receive a free 5-session video course in which Pastor Alan teaches how to bless and covers content not found in the book. The video course includes a detailed study guide perfect for personal growth or small group discussion. Make your gift today and discover the power to bless. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Alan, God's Man for Life, we've placed a bookmark here, but I can tell there's encouragement. There is hope for us. We've been saying this a lot, even through this early part of the series, that just like us, right, these heroes of the Bible are men and women like us.
Just like us. And when you see that God used Elijah, and yet James reminds us he's just like us, then you read these miracle stories in a different way. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see one today. And it's a powerful story of provision. And I think that if you're in a place in your life where you need provision, today's for you.
Today's good news message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.